Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Lamed Gimel. And we'll begin about 10 lines in the top, Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. Remind ourselves that in yesterday's shiur we had brought down an enigmatic brisa, which seemed to say that on the one hand, you have kares is more chomer than me'ila. And therefore you should learn out that just like all the types of kares lavim, that there is only a chiyav of a chatos if you did it bishkaga and not b'mezid, so too by me'ila there should only be a chiyav of a Karban Me'ila and Asha Me'ila, only if did it Bishok, you cannot be mazed. So you don't need the Pasuk Chato Bishkaga to teach us that din, because Kares is stricter than Misu B'dei Shemayim. Kares, by all these lavim of Kares, is stricter than the Me'ila prohibition, which if you did it intentionally, you get Misu B'dei Shemayim. But then the Brisa flips around and says, no, maybe not. You need the Pasuk Chato Bishkaga because Misu B'dei Shemayim is actually stricter than Kares. So we had given yesterday the first teretz as to why this isn't an internal contradiction, that first you say Kares is stricter than Misa B'dei Shemayim, and then you say that Misa B'dei Shemayim is stricter than Kares. So today we'll give a second and a third teretz, both are very similar, slight differences between them. The first one, again, we begin 10 lines from the top, Lama Gimel Olam Aleph, is Mar Berei de Ravana. He said the following teretz, Omar Halchi Kamer, this I have to understand the Braisa. In fact, the Reisha, which is saying learn out from Kares to Mila, can't be done. Lo, you can't learn it that way. Because im amris bishar mitzos, if you're telling me by the other lavim that are Kares lavim, like Chelev, for example, Chatos Chelev, shalo also behen she'ein miskavin kimiskavin. The halacha is that if you do them bishogeg, then you are chayiv for eating the chaylev, let's say, eating dam, and you have to bring a chatos. But what happens if you were not miskaving, as Rashi says, as adjusted by the Bach, b'shogeg kisha ain miskaving, if you're doing something b'shogeg, but you had no intention to do that. So we don't make it by all these lavim of karbes, she'ain miskaving to do it, ki miskaving is if you had intention to do it. Because, shim niskaving lach tovis atolush, for example, on Shabbos, there's an issue to cut fruits from the ground. There is an issue to go and detach fruits and vegetables from the ground, from trees. Shim niskavim lachtov es atolosh. You intended to go and take something that's already been cut. So you have grapes in front of you. You want to pluck a grape from a cluster of grapes that you have in front of you that's already been detached from the tree. But instead, v'chartach es hamechubar, and by accident you cut off something that was mechubar. In this situation, you're parted from achatas. We don't make eno miskavim ki miskavim. And therefore, that's by all the Yisurim Lavim of Kares. As opposed to Tomar B'Mila, here's where you see Mila is stricter, and that's why you can't say you should learn how to Kabbal Homer from the Lavim that are Kares to Mila, which is only Misa B'dei Shemayim, because Mila has a stringency to it. Can you say the same thing by Mila, Tomar B'Mila? If a person intended to warm himself up with some heterdika wool, he puts his hands inside this gizei chulin, these shearings of wool that are chulin. But by accident, he had shearings of an ola, and he warmed himself up with the shearings of an ola, which is me'ila. So here, he is over me'ila, shema. Now, he had no intention. He wasn't miskaving to use the gizei ola. Nevertheless, he's chayiv over here in Asha Me'ila. If the same exact thing had occurred, he wanted to go and take tolush, and by accident he was mechate chesem mechuber, he would be part of mechates. So clearly you see, but you can't say it's a pure kavu chomer that the lavim of Kares are stricter than the lav of Me'ila. In fact, under this situation, shelo niskavi is by Me'ila kimiskavin, but by Kares it's not. So therefore, you don't have the kavu chomer, and that's why you need the pasuk v'chato bishkaga. That's teretz number two. That is the teretz of Mar Berei de Ravana. Now, teretz number three is very similar. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar as follows. This is the teretz for this brisa. Lo, don't tell me that you can learn a kavu chomer from the lav of Kares to Me'ila. Why not? Because im amris bishar mitzvos by all the lavim of Kares, shekein lo mitzchayiv behen she'ein misasek ki misasek. Misasek is when you were doing something and unintentionally you ended up doing a totally different act, as we'll see in a second. In that situation, you wouldn't be chayiv echatos. You wouldn't be over even bishogeg a chiyiv that you'd be chayiv echatos for. As opposed to when you do something she'ein misasek ki misasek by me'ila, you are in fact chayiv. Why is that? On Shabbos, you wanted to go and lift something up from the ground. And when you lift this thing up from the ground, it's tolish. There's no prohibition whatsoever. So you have a carrot on the ground, and you lift this carrot up from the ground, no problem. not over any Isser. But by accident, you didn't realize you were misasik. You thought you were picking up the carrot that was detached, and instead, v'chotach esam chuber, and instead, you detached the carrot that was attached to the ground. In this situation, you're not called a shogeg in chayv v'chatos. This is called misasik, and you're a potter. On Shabbos, we have a concept called meleches machsheves bo'inon, that you need to have intention to go and do this. And here, you're a misasik, and misasik is potter from v'chatos. However, by Me'ila, that's not true. Tomar B'Me'ila, can you tell me Kabbal Homer from Chatos to Me'ila? No. She'im hoshit yodo l'chli, litol chayfetz. If you put your hand inside a kli to go take something out from the kli, and you didn't realize you were going to take out an apple from the kli, v'soch yodo b'shemen shel kodesh, and you didn't realize that there was shemen shel kodesh inside over there, and by accident, you did shemen shel kodesh on your hand, so you were soch with it and you got hanoah from it, you are over Me'ila, Shema. By Me'ila, there's no din of Meleches Machsheves. By Shabbos, by Chatos, there is a din of Meleches Machsheves. You have to have intention to do it. Even though you had zero intention to do it, you're Misasik, nevertheless you're Chayev. So therefore, you don't have the Kavu Chomer from Chatos to Me'ila. And therefore, you need the Pasuk, Chota Bishgaga. This is Teretz number 3. So that enigmatic Brisa actually makes a lot of sense. Now the Gemara continues, and it tells us, goes back to discuss something that we learned in yesterday's shiur. Omamar, we said, b'medvar mamurim, under what situations can chametz not have truma taken from it? So we said, before Pesach, you can, in fact, take truma from chametz. Of course you can. But on Pesach, if you have chametz, you can't take off the tithes. On Pesach, when you have chametz, and it's tevel, you can't be mafrish truma from it. It will not take effect. So we said, under what circumstances is that? The medvar mamurim, the mafrish truma vechmitza. We're talking about that you had truma, and then it became chametz. So it first was truma, and then it became chametz. Then that type of truma is going to have kedusha on Pesach. Avol hifrish chametz truma. But if you have chametz on Pesach that is tevel, and you mafrish this chametz, the mafrish it into truma and chulin, divriakol eino kedusha, it doesn't get kedusha. In this situation, the truma is not chal. That's what we had said yesterday. Shir, the only time it can be mafrish truma is when it is heter. But if the chometz, which is iser, on Pesach, you can't be mafrish truma from tevel chometz. So Gemara asks, Minani Mila, we took this as a given yesterday. Where do we know this? So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, he says, based upon a Pasuk, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, T10 lo, you must give the Kohen the Truma. You mafrish the Truma from the Tevel, and you give it to the Kohen. So it means you have to give it to the Kohen. T10 lo, Rashi explains, you have to give him a Matana, as opposed to Velo li Oro. He can't go and give him something which he can't use. He can only use it, because it's Tame, he can only use it for firewood, for burning for hasaka purposes. So it never gets the kedusha of truma if he can't eat it. As Rashi says, titen lo, betruma ksiv reishas degoncha, afilu hi ru'uy lahasik, hol ve'inu ru'uy lachila. It's no good if it's not able to be eaten, even though it's able to be used for hasaka. That's the drasha of Nachman Yitzchak says. This is not agreed to by everybody. Masiv Rav Huna Brei the Rishua. Rav Huna Brei the Rishua asks on Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and he says, we learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah is found in Trumos, Ein Tarmin min HaTmei LaTorah. You're not allowed to take off Truma from something that is Tameh and take it off on something that is Tar. Normally we're mafrish from the item on itself. So you have a bushel here of Tevel, so you take off from it Trumas and Maisers. But here you have two next to each other. You have one that's Torah and one that is Tameh. So you shouldn't go and take from the Tameh onto the Torah and Pater taking off Trumas and Maisers on the Torah because you already took it from the Tmeyah. But what happens if you did, after the fact, the Torah and Bishogi? If you did it by Mazen, it's no good. But if you did it by accident, you didn't realize that it was Tameh, and you said, oh, I'm going to take off all the Trumas and Maisers from this bushel and it'll go on all the other bushels that are here. And afterwards, you find out that it was, in fact, Tmeyah. So the Torah and Bishogi, if you did this Bishogi, Trumas or Truma, it in fact takes effect. But Rav Huna Brei the Rishua asked to Rav Nachum Yitzchak, you just said T10 lo means you have to give him something that can be eaten. But here, why don't we say, Vamai, Lema lo, Velo liuro, that you're giving it to him and not for firewood, not for hasaka. So you're not giving it to him anything, you have to give him something. And here you're not giving him something, he can only use it for firewood, for kindling, for hasaka. So therefore it should not be good. But you see, the Mishnah and Truma says it's good, that slugs you up, Rav Nachum Yitzchak. So Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak says, no, lo kasha, not a problem. Hasam ha'isoloshas ha'kosher. The reason why is that truma that became tmeya was one time truma that was tahora, and only subsequently did it become tmeya. And in that situation, we can do this. However, ha'cha lo ha'isoloshas ha'kosher. We're dealing over here that you have to give him something, titan lo, below le'uro, it never had a shasa kosher. Since it never had a shasa kosher, therefore, we can't apply the pasuk, titan lo, below le'uro, as opposed to, if it once had a shasa kosher, then it is good to say lo, titan lo, that we're giving it to him. So the Gemara questioned this, udalohios lo shasa kosher, hechidami, how can you tell me that the tevel never had a shas hakosher? Why would it not have had a shas hakosher? As soon as you take it from the ground, it has a shas hakosher. So Gemara says, kegon, the ichmitz b'mechubar. We're talking here that it never was detached from the ground before it became chometz. So this item became chometz while it was still attached to the ground. Now, normally something can't become chometz while it's attached to the ground, but there's an exception to the rule. The exception is if it's post-mature. In other words, if it's fully ripened and it's ready to be detached, but you don't detach it, and then it gets wet, so then it actually technically has the capability of becoming chometz while it's attached to the ground. So normally grains aren't chometz. We don't have to worry about grains in the wheat field getting rained upon. We want that to happen. So there's normally not a problem. But if it's post-mature, it's already ready to be reaped, it's ready to be harvested, and you don't do it, and now it doesn't really need the ground, and now it gets wet, so then technically it could become chometz. So that's what we're dealing with here. Kegon the ichmitz b'mechubar. It became chometz while it was attached to the ground. So we're dealing here with grains that were attached to the ground at the beginning of Pesach, and then they became chometz on Pesach, so they never had a moment that they weren't chometz, and therefore, in this situation, you can't go and be mafrish truma from it. That's what we're saying, when you can't be mafrish truma from chometz on Pesach. But if it had become heter before Pesach, so then you could be mafrish it even on Pesach. If it had already become chometz only after it was talush, so then you could go and be mafrish truma from it. Amalei, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says to him, this is exactly what I meant. He tells Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, you are 100% correct. And he uses a beautiful poetic language from Daniel. Bigzeiras irin pisgoma. It should be umeimar kadishin she'elta. Rashi explains over here, he takes these psukim from Daniel, and he says, the irin are malachim. Klomar, talmidei chachamim shem kemalochei asharis. He's comparing the talmidei chachamim to the angels. So, and they said, the talmidei chachamim said, Amri, they said, medrash kamosi, they held exactly like me. Doktoni le'el, ena kedusha b'shehichmitz b'mechuba kamar. This idea that Gemara just said, lo kasha, is exactly what I was doing. That's exactly my opinion. And therefore, Rashi continues, morin hora kavasi, the rabbis paskin like me. And he uses this poetic language from Daniel, with the famous maisa with Daniel explaining the Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So he says, this is what the angels have said. And in other words, he's saying the Rabbanim, they paskin exactly like this, that we're dealing here, where it became chametz only on Pesach. It was attached to the ground till Pesach started, and it became chametz, and therefore never had shasa kosher. Now that was the teretz that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok liked very much. Now, the girsa that we have is ki also Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, when Rav Yehoshua came from Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's a little bit difficult because we just said that Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua was the one that actually asked this question. So Rashi deletes the girsa ki also, and he just says, Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua gives a different teretz. And that is, we turn to the Amud Beis, Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua Amar, he says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Rashis. The Pasuk refers to Truma as Rashis. And it says, as Rashi points out here, the top Rashi, Mashma, Shetehei hi Rashis. It, Truma, is Rashis, which implies the Elu Shiorim, that which is left over, Nikarim, is left over and recognizable, Shetehei Matirosun Yisrael. You can only have Truma if something is left behind. Something is left behind, Ischulin, now your Truma takes effect. Now, the Ibn Mafrish Trumas Chometz, Rashi says, if you're Mafrish Truma on something that's already chometz on Pesach, ma heter yesh b'shiorel. You're not changing it around. Before you couldn't eat it, and now you couldn't eat it. Shetehei roshein oseh shiorim. How are you making over here? There's something that is truma, and now something that's left behind that's permissible. Ki havu meikara tevel, havu shara banov asrum bechila. Because tevel, beforehand, you're allowed to get hanah from it. So even if you go like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that you're allowed to get hanah from chometz on Pesach, it's only a hanah from it. You're not allowed to eat it, of course. So therefore, beforehand it was tevel. You could not eat it, but you get hanah from it. And now on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat it, and you get hanah from it. So nothing has changed. Hasanami show banah vasrum bachila yishum chometz. My heavy shiurim. So therefore, there's no shiurim over here. So this is the teretz of Huna Brei Yeshua gives. He says because you need to have it reishish shiurim and nikarn liyisrael. Yotze sozo. We exclude over here the chometz on Pesach she'ein shiurim and nikarn that doesn't have any recognizable component of chulin now that is mutter biachila. So that's his teretz. Nagbar says, Yosef Rav Acha bar Rav Avya kamed Rav Chista. Rav Acha bar Avya was sitting in front of Rav Chista, and then it says, and he was sitting. Yosef, Yom HaMishmei Rav Yochanan. And then he was sitting, and he said the name of Yochanan. So we've mentioned this many, many times. Why does it say Yosef and Yosef? So we have this throughout Shas, and the famous, beautiful teretz that's given is that in those days, I mentioned this many times in the shir, I never expected people, when we're having the shir live, they ask me a question. They should first stand up, wait till I recognize them, and then they can sit down and ask the question. But that's the way it was in the times of the Gemara. If somebody had a question, they would stand up. So they were normally sitting beforehand, and then they would stand up, the Rebbe would acknowledge them, and then they would sit down and ask their question. So that's what happened over here. Rav Acha bar Avya was sitting and learning in front of his Rebbe Rav Chista, and he had a question, so he stood up, the Rebbe recognized him, and then V'yosef V'yomar Mishmei D'Rav Yochanan, then he sat down and he said over the name of Rav Yochanan, and he said the following question, Anovim Shenitmu, if you have grapes that became Tomei, now, Dorchon Pachos Mikabetz, if you go and you press them with a total amount of grapes here being less than a Kabetza, this way the Tomei grapes will not become Metame to the wine that comes out of them, and this wine, Vienam, that comes out of these grapes, when you're dealing with less than a kibetza, you darchen them, you press them, less than a kibetza is worth Yenam Koshel Nesochem. This wine is absolutely tar. Not only is it just regular tar, it's even able to be put on the Mizbeach for Nesochem, for the wine libations. It'll be so tar. So even though these grapes are Tomei, he said in the name of Yochanan, Rav Acha bar Rav Avya said in the name of Yochanan that while the grapes are tummy, the juice inside of them is not tummy, and therefore, if you do it with less than a kibetza, Rashi explains, there's a big machlokus throughout Shas between Rashi and Tosfos over here, so Rashi says, you can see this in Dibur HaMaskil, b'chabetza nami, that Rashi holds, Ochel u'mashka makabel tumma, b'koshen, they can accept tumma any amount, in order to transmit tumma down the line, so then you need to have at least a kibetza's worth. Tosfos disagrees with this. Again, famous discussion throughout Shas. So let's just simply learn like Rashi. So these grapes, as long as you have less than a kibetza of the tummy grapes, there's no way that they can be metame, the juice inside. And therefore, the juice inside will retain its tar status, and it won't become tummy, even if it comes into contact with this less than a kibetza's worth of grapes that are tummy. And therefore, this grape juice, this wine that comes out, could even be used, yeinon kosher l'nisochen. It could even be used on the Mizbeach v'nisochen. So that's what he said in the name of Yochanan. Alma, what do you see from here? The Gemara says, kisavar, it's Rav Yochanan's opinion that mashkin mifkat b'kideh, we view the juice inside the grape as if it's in a container. It's not actually part of the grape, but it's like in a separate container. And therefore, the grape itself cannot be metame, the juice that's inside this separate container called the grape. Now, le'emas kometame, so when does grape juice become tummy from a grape? L'chisachetlu, only when you press it, when you squeeze it. So the juice comes out and it comes into contact with the grape. The grape is tummy, it's now metame, the juice. But this is only if you have a kibetza's worth of grapes. So if you started off with exactly a kibetza's worth, as soon as you break out some of the juice, l'chisachetlu, you're now going to have less than a kibetza, and it can't be metame the grape juice. So as long as you don't start off with more than a kibetza's worth, if you have exactly a kibetza, and certainly if you have less than a kibetza, it can't be metame the juice. That's what Rav Yochanan said. More questions. It says, Ihochi kibetza nami. Then why did you say you should be darchen it, pochus mi kibetza? You should have said you can even be darchen it, you can even press it, if it's a kibetza. Kibetza nami. But why did you say pachos mi kibetza? Now, it says in the Mishnah in Taharos, the Tanan, tomei meis, if a person's tomei meis, it says specifically here tomei meis, the Mefarshim should bring down, because in the Mishnah in Taharos, it's contrasting this with a Zov. A Zov can be metame via not just touching it, by moving it, by hest. So it doesn't have to be tame maga. As opposed to tame mace, it has to be by maga. So that's why it specifically gives the case of a tame mace. So the Mishnah in Taharos says, tame mace, shechachat zesim anovim. If a person who's tame mace, and he goes and presses, he squeezes out the zesim and anovim, olives and grapes, and it says if he had kebetza mechuven, it's exactly a betza's worth of olives or a betza's worth of anovim. Kebetza mechuven is an exact amount to horin, because as you break it open, it will lose its shear, and therefore the tomei olive, the tomei grape, cannot be metame the juice inside it because it's no longer kebetza's worth. Now, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, you said pachus pachus mekebetza. Why didn't you say like the Mishnah Taharos they could do even the kebetza? So Gemara answers, no problem. Hosom the iova. That's a b'di'evet. That's a case. It's after the fact. We don't let you go do a kebetza's worth because you may have to do more than a kebetza's worth. But after the fact, if it really was exactly a mechuvenes kebetza, it was exactly a kebetza, so then when some of the juice comes out, you no longer have a kebetza, and therefore it's not a problem. So here, when Rav Yochanan says you should do pochus, pochus be kebetza, hochel l'chatchila. But over there, in the Mishnah Taharos, it was b'di'evet. And the reason why you shouldn't do it lechatchila with exactly a kebetza, because it's a gzeira. Rav Yochanan said, the rabbis instituted a gzeira. Dilma osi lemevad yosem kebetza, because you may not be mechavin exactly a kebetza. You have, let's say, a 1.1 kebetza, and then when the juice comes out, you'll have 1.05 of a kebetza still, and it will be metame, olive oil or the grape juice that comes out, and therefore, never do it with a kebetza lechatchila. Do it pachas pachas, so this way there's zero chance of a problem. So that is what Rav Yochanan said over his Talmud, Rav Acha bar Rav Avia, said in front of Rav Chisda. Now Rav Chisda did not like this. I'm like, Rav Chisda, who's going to listen to you and your Rebbe? Man tzayis loch ule Rebbe Yochanan Rabach. Who's going to listen to you and to your Rebbe Rav Yochanan? This din is incorrect. Rav Chisda says, how can you say that the grape juice or the olive oil is not tame? It's tame inside the grape. And that's because Alma, Kosover, Mashkin, Mivla Bli, he doesn't hold its Mifkat pocket, like Rav Yochanan said, that it's a container with inside the grape. No, he says it's absorbed within the grape. It's all considered one entity. Grape and grape juice are all tame. So you can't tell me that the tuma somehow miraculously leaves the grape and is no longer tame. It's mivla blie, and therefore it's one entity. It's not mifkat pocket that it's a separate entity. The grape juice inside the grape is not the grape. He says, no, it's one and the same. That's what Rav Chisda says. But Rav Acha bar Avia doesn't accept this. Rav Acha bar Avia says, no, Rav Chisda, Rebbe, you're wrong. Amalei says to him, va'at lo tizbro de mashkin mifkat pkide, and you disagree with my idea that it's mifkat pkide? You're saying it's mivla blie? You don't agree with me? But nan, but I'll show you that that's incorrect, because we just learned in this Mishnah, this nan, Tommy Mace Sochat Zesim Anovim, this Mishnah in Toros, which said that a Tommy Mace who squeezed out the juice from the olives for olive oil and the juice from the grapes for grape juice, if it was Muchuvenes Kebetza Tom, it was exactly a Kebetza, we said that they are tar. Now, E Amris Bishlomo, if you hold like me, that Mifkat Pikide, oh, Mishum Hachi Tar, we understand why it's good. We understand why the juice is considered separate entity. It's within a container called the grape, within a container called the olive, and therefore it's not coming becoming tame from the olive or the grape that is tame. Mifkat pkide. And that's why. Taurin. That Mishnah Taurus works very well according to our understanding of Mifkat pkide. But according to you, Rav Chisda Eliyamis, Mivla Bli, if you're saying that it's one and the same entity, it's absorbed, the juice of the grape is absorbed within the grape, it's all one and the same, so then am I tar? So then why should it be tar? Why, in fact, is this grape not metame, the juice inside of it? The olive not metame, the juice inside of it? So Rav Chisda says, no, no problem. Omalei. Hachamai Eskini, you know what we're talking about? Anovim shaloh hukshiru. We're dealing here with the anovim when they were touched by the tame maize. So the anovim weren't tame. The zaysim were not tame. You know why? Because they weren't mukshal kabel tuma. They'd never come into one of the seven contact with one of the seven liquids. The famous mnemonic we said many times: yad shochad dam. The seven liquids. The mnemonic, the yud is yayin. The dalit of yad is for dam. Then you have Shochat, the shin is shemen, the ches is cholov, and the tes is tal. And then the last part, dam, you have another dalet, that's now dvash of bees, bee honey. And then you have the mem is mayim. So any one of these seven liquids can make something mukhshul kabel tumah. But this grape or olive here had not yet become mukshel lekabel tumah. It only becomes mukshel lekabel tumah when it comes into contact with the juice. Ah, but now, if it was exactly a kibetza size to start with, so it's not going to be able to be mukshel lekabel tumah, because you need to be a kibetza to be mukshel lekabel tumah. Now, when you open up the olive, you open up the grape, and a little juice comes out, so it's no longer the size of a kibetza, and it can't be mukshel lekabel tumah unless it's a kibetza. So that's what Rav Chisda says, Hoch mayaskinam banavish lo hukshiru. We're dealing here with grapes, olives as well. And therefore, le'emas miskashri. When do they become mushal kabel tumah? Only l'chisachidlu. Only when you squeeze out the grape juice or the olive oil. Now, kisachidlu. When you're squeezing it out, by definition, you don't have a kibetz's worth of grape or olive. And batzilu shiura. And you can't be mushal kabel tumah if it's less than the share of a kibetz. And Rav Chisda said, I'll show you that I'm right. Because dilo temahachi, if you don't agree with what I just said, then how can I understand the following brisa, which we learned in yesterday's shiur? In yesterday's shiur, we had a discussion between Rabbi Kiva and Reuven Nuri. We had a discussion between Rulazu Chisma and Rulazu Ben Yaakov. And in that discussion, we brought down this brisa. And we said, in what way is the chometz on Pesach comparable? How lemaze dome? In what way is it comparable that it's also b'achila and also b'hanoa? L'trumas tusim? And we delete the word zaysim, that's just a mistake. L'trumas tusim v'anovim? We're dealing here that this chometz on Pesach, which is also b'hanah, achila, and hasaka, is similar to truma of tusim of berries and anavim of grapes. Shenitma, she'ain lo ba lo heter achila lo heter hasaka. And these berries and grapes that are tame, you're not allowed to eat them, and you're not allowed to even burn them. Now, why not? They're truma tameya. Why can't you burn them? So the answer is because they're not flammable. These berries and grapes are not flammable. That's why you can't even have the hanah of hasaka from them. Ha-heter achila nami isbe. But according to you, there would be a heter dikaway. Ha-heter achila nami isbe. You should be able to go and have heter achila, Rav Chisda says to Rav Acha bar Avin in the name of Rav Yochanan. Because according to you, it is in fact Mifkad pocket. So you know what you do, according to you, if you don't say Mivla Bli, if you say Mifkad pocket, you could eat the tusin and the anovim, the juice is the following way. The boy, if you wanted to, Darklu Pachas Pachas Mikabetza, go and press it very small amounts, less than a kibetz's worth, and therefore it won't become tame because it's mifkad pocket. But we didn't give that possible answer. We said that there's no way to eat the truma tomato of tusin and anovim. So therefore, it must be because it's mivla bli. And therefore, I'm right, Rav Chisda says, and you are wrong. The position of you, Rav Acha bar Avi, according to Rav Yochanan, that it's mivkad pocket is wrong. I'm right. Rav Chisda says, it's mivla bli. I'm a Rabbi. No, Rav Yochanan is okay. The reason why Rav Yochanan didn't allow you to do this is because gzeira dilma osi b'hu li deta kola. We don't let you do this to be darach lu pochus pochus mikabeitza, because of a gzeira, that if you leave this around, you may come to end up using these tusim and anovim, and that's why he said it's still good. The din is that it's in fact mifkad pocket, and it wouldn't become tummy if you were dorachid, pachas pachas debetza. But Rav Yochanan made a gzeira, dilma osibu de takol. If you leave it around and use it in small amounts, you may end up eating it, and that would be also because it's truma tameya. That's what Rava says. Abaye disagrees. Amalei Abaye. Umi chashin letakola. Where do we find that Rav Yochanan is concerned over here about a takola? After all, we learned in another brisa, and it says, "Madlikim bepasu b'shemen shel truma shenitmes." You are allowed to use bread of truma tmeya or shemen of truma tmeya and use it as firewood. Now, you don't use it all at once, so you're leaving it around. So you see that he doesn't make a takola. The brisa says you don't make a takola. We're not concerned over here that it could lead to a takola. We don't make a zera dumasi buli de takola. So Amalei, so Rava would answer back to Abaye. He says, no, pas, bread over here, you can make it that it is no takala because you make it totally disgusting and make it that nobody would want to eat it. Zorik lei, beino eitzim. You throw the bread amongst the firewood. So you'll use it as firewood and it's mixed in with all the firewood. It's disgusting. Nobody's going to eat that bread. So you don't have to be concerned. I make a gzera, dum osibu li de takala. Somebody couldn't come to eat it. It's disgusting. Nobody's come to eat it. Likewise, shemen shel truma. What do you do with the shemen shel truma that you don't have to be concerned that somebody's going to come put a little bit on their salad? It's truma tmeya and you can only use it for asaka. Rami le b'chlimos. You put it into a disgusting vessel. And this way, this disgusting utensil that you put it into, you're never going to go put it on your salad. So that's why there is no concern of a takola. But if there is a concern of a takola, what are you going to do with these berries? What are you going to do with the grapes? You can't make them disgusting. So therefore, there is a concern. You'll come to eat them later on. That's where Rabbi Yochanan said, Dilma Asi L'de Takola, and therefore he said a gezerah, don't keep them. Now, let's go back and discuss this a little bit more. Gufa. Madlikim bepas v'shemen shel truma shenitmeis. We said that you're allowed to keep the bread of truma tmeya or shemen of truma tmeya and keep it around, even though it's tameh, because you can go use it for hasaka. Abaye mamish made the chizkia. Abaye said the name of chizkia. And Rav Amar today, Rabbi Yitzchak, Barmar to Amar of Huna. They each said its following. Lo shanu el apas. This is only for bread. Avochiti lo. If it's actual kernels of wheat, so they don't become disgusting. And therefore, you have to be concerned that if you keep this truma tumeya, these kernels of wheat around, the chitim around, so then they may be a takola. So they only allowed it when you had bread, which you can make disgusting, but the kernels of wheat don't make disgusting. But along comes Rav Yochanan might know, afilu chitim, even these kernels of wheat, these chitim, you can make them disgusting. How do you make them disgusting? V'amai, nechush dum wasi behen li de takala, why aren't you concerned that you may come to eat them? How do you make them disgusting? So Gemara says, kudam Ravashi, that you can do like Ravashi said. What did Ravashi say? We turn to Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. You go and put it in boiling water. Bishli kasa umi sasa. You go, as Rashi says, la'achar shenitmu, after these chitim, these kernels of wheat became tamei, shulkin, you go put them into boiling water. Now you throw it amongst the firewood, and therefore the heinim also. So they become disgusting because they're able to absorb the dirt around them. So nobody's going to go and eat this. Now, why didn't the other say this? Rav Huna chayish dilma ochalei mikamei delishkelinu. Oh, b'shash shulkin. So Rav Huna and the others didn't say like Rav Yochanan, and they said, because if you keep it around to go and boil it, so until you actually go boil it, or at the start of the boiling, you may put some in your mouth, and therefore they said, don't do this. So it's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and these other Amorim, do we or do we not allow you to use the chitim? Now, where did Rav Ashi say this teretz about the lish shlikasa umiyas sasa? The hech itmar the Rav Ashi. Where did he say this? So, aha, it was on the following. The Amar Rav Avin by Rav Acha, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Abashol, Gaval, Shabes, Rebbe, Hoya. He said this about Abashol. Abashol was the person who was in charge of the doughs in the house of Rebbe. Rebbe was a very, very wealthy man, and he mustama supported a lot of Tamidei Chachamim by giving them jobs, and Abashol was the one who made the dough in Rebbe's house. And what they would do is they'd heat up water for him, and they heated up this water with truma that was temeya, bechitin shel truma temeya, and they sometimes used chitin of truma temeya. So how are you allowed to do this? Aren't you concerned that maybe you come to eat these chitin? But no, they used them, lolush ben isa b'tahara, and they would heat up the water, and they would make these doughs even in full tahara. So amai, how come we're not concerned, nechush, duma osibuli de takola, that maybe they'll come to eat these chitin, these truma temeya, and that's a problem. And on this, aha, amar v'ashi, bishli kasa umi sasa, that they go, they went and put these kernels of wheat, these chitin, into boiling water, and then they threw it amongst the firewood. So now they're using it as part of the firewood, but it's disgusting, and there was no concern that it could come to a takola. With this, we conclude today's shiur.